If you're shopping while working, eating, or even listening to this podcast, then you know and love the thrill of a deal. But are you getting the deal and cash back? Rakuten shoppers do. They get the brands they love, savings, and cash back. And you can get it too. Start getting cash back at your favorite stores like Levi's, Plow & Hearth, Adidas, Sephora, and Neiman Marcus. Stack sales on top of cash back and feel what it's like to know you're maximizing the savings. And it's easy to use. And you get your cash back sent to you through PayPal or check. The idea is simple. Stores pay Rakuten for sending them shoppers, and Rakuten shares the money with you as cash back. Download the free Rakuten app or go to Rakuten.com to start saving today. It's the most rewarding way to shop. That's R-A-K-U-T-E-N. Rakuten.com.
If you're a maintenance supervisor at a manufacturing facility and your machinery isn't working right, Grainger knows you need to understand what's wrong as soon as possible. So when a conveyor motor falters, Grainger offers diagnostic tools like calibration kits and multimeters to help you identify and fix the problem. With Grainger, you can be confident you have everything you need to keep your facility running smoothly. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
You know what, Satch? I don't always have time to check your emails. Not when I'm being a single parent. I'm sorry.
Oh, here we go.
Are we on? Are we on?
Bloody hell. Mike is on.
Look at that. I didn't even get to put my phone on.
Please, can you turn off all mobile phones during this recording?
This is a disaster.
Let me answer this, right? Hey, Massey, you all right? Yeah, good, Massey. I'm just recording a podcast, though. No, it's okay. Oh, do you want to call mum's phone? She's there. She's just watching TV. They're watching a drama.
Her and dad. Massey, now the end time, I will.
Yeah, go on. You can quickly tell me something, Massey. Yeah, you know, your dad filled the form for their visas. Yeah, for India. Yeah.
You know when I sent it to him?
Yeah.
I'll send the form and then it says at the bottom, read.
I reckon. Read
more. Oh, so there's more to the form that he hasn't given you the answers for.
I reckon, Satch, his Massey does the trip to the passport office because it's a visa application.
I'm going to do that tomorrow now, knowing him. Is that right? Okay. Thank you, Mass. All right. Speak to you. Bye-bye. No. Don't apologize, Massey. It's you. Don't worry. You're queen.
It's
queen
fine. Massey. She's famous.
You are my favorite Massey. Remember that. Okay. All right. Love you. Okay. Bye-bye.
She's become everyone's favorite Massey now.
Bruv, this is a whole other thing. They're going to India. My mum and dad. My Massey and my
Massey. No, don't try it. We know your Massey's the visa agent.
So is your Massey the visa runner?
She's there every day. I've seen her there.
So she used to work for like a bank. So she's got some admin in her. Do you know what I mean? Like she can handle this. So she's the one that they've been talking. And you know, I don't know if anybody else has had this, you know, this thing, you know, when you've got parents that are going to India for the first time in about 10 years. I don't think my mum and dad have been. They're getting older. They don't really want to go on their own.
Are they going in Feb by any chance?
They're going in Feb. They're going Shut in up. At the end of this month. At the end of this month-ish.
Can I just say?
What?
You have nothing to worry about.
Why?
Weather-wise,
yeah, it's
no, nice. No. Because if they're going in February,
yeah,
guess who else is going in February?
Someone famous. I don't know.
On the right line.
Harry Kane.
Someone who can look after your parents.
You're not. Shut up. Go on.
Gajalbhai is going to India.
Okay, you're going to India. Are you going with my parents?
Is that what I could be. If we can sync the date, I'll look after them.
Kedge, do you need your visa then? Because the Massey's...
Maybe I need to sort the Massey out.
I beg your pardon. That's what her husband's for. He's all right. She's well looked after.
Is she going to do the visa?
So, yeah, it's visa. So they
only to be fair, unlike the Punjabis, us Gujaratis, we've all got the IOC, COI, OCI... I'm cool, mate. I'm cool.
What does that mean? How many years is that?
For life, mate.
For life. Yeah.
So for life. You just do it one time.
I'll be honest with you. The process is a big one time. Okay, it takes forever.
So, but
no, 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 no. But once one person's got it, that's it. The gates are open for the whole family to get it.
Yeah, yeah. Such is right. It had to be. It had to be my dad first. Then now it's like literally it. the whole
family
of
the tree,
the whole neighborhood. Tree.
Yeah. Okay, so it's like getting into an exclusive nightclub, right? Going to the fire exit, holding the fire exit door, and getting all
that's
your cousins in.
Basically, yeah. That's exactly what an OCI is. Yeah.
Okay. So, and can I? So this is really naive of me. Does that apply just to Gujarat, or is it like to all of?
It's to residents.
You could go to Punjab. What? So can you please? Can you get my parents in? Can you sort it out? No, it's fine. Their visas will be fine, but they just need to fill out the form. But that was Masi just saying, by the way, there was more to the page that your dad didn't fill out. So can you tell me that?
There always is.
But right now, Colors TV's on. So they're on that. They're on the dramas, mate. Because it's what is it? What day is it? What day of the week is
Tuesday,
it?
Tuesday
night. There you go. So they're watching something.
Is this the time to call Masi, though? Honestly, Colors TV is on fire now.
I tell you what, I've just, because she's calling me, because I've had to just take the pictures of my mum and dad for the visa that they needed. So because I've sent that from my WhatsApp, and then I sent the information, and then I sent something else that they needed.
Yeah, you're the point of contact. Yeah.
I'm the admin guy in this house. Yeah. Which obviously I'm not. I'm just a you know, dog's body. I'm like a whatever gopher. So that's what's good. So look, this was going on. So I was just saying when the podcast started, before my Masi sweetly interrupted, not rudely. That Sachin goes, oh, by the way, I just sent you an email because Sachin's helped me out with some music stuff for some shows that we're doing this year for Sholeh. We're celebrating this is the year. Sholeh is 50 years old this year. We're doing a little tribute theatre show. Look out for that. You heard it here first on the Brownlow. It hasn't even been properly announced anywhere. Although we put it up on a website and tickets are selling hard already. I'm just saying that. And that's not me trying to plug it. Don't come if you don't want to come. But it's going to be sick.
Are you going to sell Sholeh at Sholeh?
Come on.
No, because they're...
Is there going to be a year toasty?
No.
When year
Oh, Saj. You're on fire. Give me more.
I'm gonna tell you what I'm doing. I'm gonna tell you what I'm doing. No, there's no boobas for sale. No. Although
one more. We want one more.
I'll tell you what I've got. Do you wanna do it? And I'll tell you I actually spoke to a caterer, a friend of ours, today about potentially supplying at the theatres that can accommodate this.
Yeah.
It's just an idea. I don't even know if it's gonna work. It might not even be there. Dosa and tea.
Dosti. Dosti.
You can have some chai and you can have a little dosa in the break or before or whenever, you know. So you have dosa tea as a little, like we call it a rari, you know, like a little, what do you call those carts that you kind of sell from? Like the street vending carts.
Yeah.
What's that?
Rekri.
Oh, is it not far off? Then we're rari and you're rekri. Rex in effects, and so that's that I'd love a year dorsati thing there, but I'm waiting to see if that's practical.
I still mate, for you need to do something for the Mehbooba fans. They want it.
Can I go? If you pay a bit extra, you can have a private Mehbooba dance with me. It's brilliant marketing.
Like, someone's got to, once again, make the T-shirts. Because you always get those Indian designers on Instagram who make, like, you know, sort of clothing and stuff.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah.
Is it 50? 50 anniversary T-shirts, you know. Like, let's just do it. Derijit, Merijit, I don't know. There's so many things.
Exactly. And because we've been playing around with the logos and all that, we made, at one point, the five of Sholeh and the O as the five and the O, the 50. Do you see what I mean? It slightly tweaked it. So playing around that, but then we decided to call it Dosti, a celebration of Sholeh at 50. Because we're playing on the friendship thing, and also there might be some rights issues about using Sholeh the name.
Of course.
But you could get around that because there was a film called Ram Gopal Varma Ki Sholeh. So if you say
that was Aag.
Ram Gopal Varma Ki Aag : Sholeh. So you could do Tommy Sandu ki Sag Sholeh.
Sag.
Yeah. Do you know what I mean?
Sounded like, you as well.
Okay, either way, how did I get into that? Oh, yeah. So Satch has helped me out with some music for that. And he sent me an email. I didn't get to check that because I'm going to get back to my moaning. I'm a proper single parent this week. My wife's away for work and
Should we get the violins out?
She's in Germany. But, bruv, you know, you realize she does everything. I ain't going to lie. She does everything. When it comes to the kids, The uniforms, the homework, the diaries, the checking in with other mums. And by the way, it's all other mums in the groups anyway. That's probably another reason why they are doing it all for the other kids.
Well, so what is this? What is this generalization that's going on here? What is this? No, 2025.
I'm not generalizing, bro.
No, not you. But like, but why is this generalization actually still happening?
Oh, exactly. And not only that, even when I was part of the PTA, at the other, the kids' junior
school. Oh, yeah, you were. Yeah.
They would all message. All the mums would message, hey, ladies. And I'm the only one down there. And I'm like, you know what I mean?
You're like, hey.
Yeah. And I just joined in. What up, sisters? Yeah. What are you saying? And they're like, oh, sorry. And you, Tommy. But that, you know, that was fine. Right. But my point is, so because they did sports today and he needs his sports stuff for tomorrow, my guy's covered in mud. And I'm like, we need that for tomorrow. So I had to wash that, dry that, literally put it all out. But I'm like one of them now. I've laid out everything. Their kache, their socks, their all that. So, like, so to come tomorrow morning, it's a no-brainer. So
I've been running
around doing that and doing their food. Now I've just put them in the bedroom, because we are in a proper migrant camp. We are living with two double beds in one room.
Yeah, lovely.
And look, I'm in the other spare room in the house, but they don't want to sleep in this room. They want to be migrant camp. They want to be like, oh, we just got over to Calais. We're at the border. We're waiting for our... Sorry, I shouldn't joke around that stuff. That stuff's dark. But you know what I mean? We feel like illegals all bunched up, right?
I mean, just for context, the actual plan was we were meant to meet today and it was meant to be the first in-person podcast of 2025. But I mean, I went out the window now.
I'm sorry. My fault.
And then... Your Massey jumped into the podcast as well.
Right, so straight feature.
Right, you planned it.
Yeah, but can I? And also, Massey just did that thing that only I think people of a certain generation do. Or maybe if she was in our generation or younger, then I would have gone, "What are you doing?" Like I would have called her out on it. But I just went, "Oh, Massey, I'm just recording the podcast." She's, "Oh, okay, but can I just quickly say something then?" Like I'm on my own agenda.
Yeah. I'm just hanging off a building about to fall off this 17th story building. But okay, just before you do that, can I just ask you about the belt that I made for your cha-cha?
Exactly.
Can
I tell you something? Something just come to my mind on that note, right?
Here we go.
And it just goes to show the NFG levels of cold callers. You know, when you get the cold call from someone from like, hello, you're just fine. So they and this is a bit wrong of me. And if my mum and dad found out about if I said this, they would actually have a go at me because they don't like this kind of stuff.
I know what you're gonna do.
So they rung and they went, hello, can we and it always like crackles a bit the line, and then you hear loads of people in the background, like they're in a call center, 5 million people, and they go, hi, we'd like to speak to Tommy Sandy. They got like a weird kind of some kind of foreign voice, right? And I went, oh, I'm really sorry, but he passed away, right?
Oh,
I know. Right? Because I wanted to end these calls. And they went, well, have you got a minute for us just so we can... I went, no, because you... And I went, no, you've just rung his phone and we're still dealing with his death.
Wow.
So if you don't mind, can you... And they were like, yeah, but maybe we could just run a few questions by you. I said, now's not a good time.
No, Tommy,
but
that's
I know
deep.
That's dark.
That's deep. That's deep.
But bruv, can I be honest? I get four...
I'll just put the phone down. I'll just put the phone... Exactly. No,
it comes back then. It's like sweeping it under the carpet. The mess is still there. I needed to make it stop.
But then you've just said, oh, now's a bad time. Well, they'll call you tomorrow.
They're calling on a dead man's phone. That's what they're doing.
They don't care.
They don't care. That's the point I'm making. NFG. No, it's given. It's been a bit. So yeah, apologies because I'm quite excited by this by this Brownload listeners, everyone, because we're going to be moving around to a few different restaurants over the next few months, right? We've kind of lined up a few of our restaurant friends that have all said, "Yeah, come on down, do this." And so we were going to go to, and I do genuinely love Bombay Central up in Harrow, round by your way, Kedge.
Yeah.
It's a great place. I love the way they've decked it out. I love the way it looks like a station and all the little signages and all that kind of stuff. I loved it there. I've only been there a couple of times.
Yeah.
Food's there, good vibe. And Rishi, is it Rishi the owner?
Yeah,
it's Rich. Yeah, lovely guy, right? Always really welcoming, really warm, really lovely. So generally, was looking forward to going there. And then actually, you said, "Oh, he's opening the restaurant for us, specially, right?" And I was like, "Well, actually, I'm struggling a bit. Don't tell him not to do that. Ask him kindly not to do that, and we'll do this one online because." Man,
also, we want to go there and taste the food, the car now. We want the full effects.
I didn't want to call him out. Okay. What, Rish? We're just coming.
I'm not going to Bombay Central to fast.
To fast? Oh, he said to fast.
That's going to happen anyway.
Yeah, no, exactly. So so we will be at Bombay Central, but I think next week we're at a new restaurant that's in Brick Lane. Yeah, then we've got others. Peter Kanchan wants us back there. Oh, actually, Peter from Kanchan. His name's not Peter Kanchan. So there's a few of our local restaurants. Anyway, we are online and we are back together.
Do you know what? In a weird sort of way, it feels like we've got so much to catch up on because it's been forever. To be honest, I'm trying to think when we last met, because I swear the last few, even before Christmas, was sort of online. Then we did the New Year's one, so we all had a week off. We haven't really spoken to anybody.
Yeah.
But me and Kedge did start the year off together.
Oh,
we did.
Thanks a lot. What do you mean? What did you do? You met up for like lunch or what?
No.
At the stroke of midnight, we were together. New Year's Eve.
Hold on. Who was? So who
was I was working.
Yeah, I was DJing, and I was
because I was sorry, Kedge.
What? I went around Kedge's house, was I?
No way. Did Kedge go, hello, Kedge. What are you doing on New Year's Eve? Want to hang out? Never in a million years. If Satch had New Year's Eve off, he wouldn't tell anyone. He'd be somewhere very quiet. Very much enjoying it. So sorry, you went along to his night out then, did you?
Yeah, I was his roadie and security guard and request taker. I was just all in one.
Did you ask him to do any of those things, Satch?
To be fair, he was good, Tommy, because he didn't tell me what to play once.
Oh, very good.
But that's because everybody else thought they were the DJ, so they were all coming up. They were all, can I just say, I'm going to say, because I know Satch moans about it, right? And people find it like, or sometimes people might think, oh, but, you know, Satch is being a bit extreme and all of this kind of stuff. Can I just say, just standing next to the DJ, just by the entrance, there's only one little entrance bit for the booth, right? And I was standing there, right? And I kind of ended up, because there was a security guard next to me as well. She was quite a funny woman, actually. So we started chatting. So I kind of became a security guard as well, for Satch's booth. And the amount of people who just think that they know what song has to play. And I'm like,
this is very ironic coming from you.
I could tell that guy. It's for jokes. But what I'm saying is, I will go and tell any other DJ because they let's be honest, majority of DJs are useless. But what I'm trying to say is that it was like that. It's New Year's Eve. You're up with your partner, your boyfriend, your girlfriend, your girls, your boys, right? Just enjoy it. This guy was playing, firstly, the warm-up was like brilliant house music, but all your famous little big bangers, but in a like a house vibe.
Give me a couple. Robin, Show Me Love.
Bit of Janet Jackson.
House versions of it.
I love that. Because it's your favorite sing-along tunes, but they're house version.
I love dance versions of R&B.
You know what? There was not a lot of people dancing in the beginning. I found that a little bit surprising. Anyway, then there's this one girl who came up.
He's laughing already.
And she bypassed me and went straight for Satch. And
she ducked you and the security guard.
She swift,
good movement.
And she went straight for Satch, and she just went, and I could hear it because she was quite loud. I think slightly, I would say at least about 3-4 glasses down, and she was like, "Why does every song have to be a house song? Can't you play one song that is just normal, like doing that with her face, normal, right?"
Can I ask? I have to know, what ethnicity was she?
Well, you guess.
She's Asian.
Of course she is.
Because the people that would demand R&B or not dance music, not house, are going to be that. They're going to be Asian women.
Yeah, go
on. Yeah. It's true.
Yeah, it's true. So I felt really bad for Satch because I was like, I kind of went, I really felt like going, shut up. What are you on about? Do you know what I mean? And Satch, I've got to say, because I've never seen Satch in action. Satch kind of just went, all right, it's coming. Like, he just really calmly palmed it off. But you could tell it annoyed Satch as well.
Yeah.
But that's, you have to. That's part of your job. That
should not be part of your job because you're a DJ.
I tell you what Satch is. In that situation, Satch is a black cab driver that's just been cut up. Guess what? It happens. And you're right. You see black cab drivers, they don't get irate. Not anymore.
No, that's true. That's true. That's true. Like, you know, but what? He was irating me.
Of course, but do you know what? I'm glad you saw that, Kedge, because and that's all well and good, you know, speaking to me like I'm some like dumb or something.
And then
it's like the worst part, and this really gets my goat. There's no sort of like, do you know, if you want to ask someone for something, be polite, please, yeah. Thank you. Where's your manners? They ain't got no manners.
Yeah.
Don't come over to him.
Anyway, fast forward a few songs, right? Because then we fast forward a few songs. And the security guard woman next to me kept nudging me because this girl was a bit of a groover. Do you know what I mean? She fancied herself on the dance floor. So yeah. It was that sort
The security woman.
The requester. Yeah. And it's, you know, it's that kind of Tina Turner-esque wide foot like pose dancing. Yeah, stompy, yeah. Right? And she's doing that. She's got a short skirt on. She's got like this like draping kind of jacket thing on that's going down her legs. You know, the full outfit, the shebang, holding the glass of whatever she was drinking, really stomping, doing that kind of Tina Turner dance. And then next minute, da-dang, legs over, backside, everything's in the air.
We don't need another hero.
Mate, I didn't know where to look. The security guard's dying. I'm dying. Satch is pretending to look for a tune and hiding behind his laptop. Yeah. It was hilarious.
Brilliant. I really enjoy people falling over. I love it. Like, you've been framed and all that. When people fall,
this woman because she gave
Satch
stuff. That's great karma. That's the DJ gods going. Shall we? Let's agree.
And the funny thing was, her boyfriend couldn't even pick her up.
It's like he fell on the floor as well.
He was just looking at her, like literally with her legs over her shoulders. It was hilarious.
He probably didn't want to. He probably feel, you know what? I might just leg it now.
Do you know what? As Kez said, Tommy, I was worried because it was about 11:15. It was really quiet in there.
Then
all of a sudden, about 12:30, half past 11, it was rammed. Like you couldn't tell 10 minutes later that it was like how it was 10 minutes ago.
Because people obviously go to pubs, they warm up there and then they're like, right, let's steam in somewhere for midnight. And obviously all the pubs.
Kedge actually nudged me and he goes, do you know what? Well done, mate. And I was just like, yeah, it's cool, isn't it? Get people dancing. That's not a problem.
Yeah.
He gave his little nod of approval, which was like,
I really enjoyed it because it was good tunes. It was good tunes.
And at midnight, it's your freshie birthday as well.
And do you know what? I wished him a happy birthday, not a happy new year.
He didn't wish me a happy new year.
I would have done the same. I think birthday first and then happy.
It was nice.
But seeing the new year and the birthday, double whammy. You're there with. You are a little bit when you're the mate of the DJ. I think you're a little bit the pigeon. You know, you're the.
What's
you know
the pigeon?
You know, in the song, like, I don't want a pigeon hanging out the passenger side. So, was that all right? Or were you okay being?
I don't mind. I'm just bouncing. I'm dancing. I had a little drink. I was sipping on, not even alcoholic. It was just a ginger beer with loads of ice in it. Loved it. I loved myself.
He was happy. The little kabooter.
Yeah. I absolutely loved it.
Honestly, I like it when New Year's or even nights out like that just come together. Like if you go, be quiet. And you're sort of underwhelmed a little bit. And then boom, you're like,
That's what it was.
How was your New Year's Eve?
So I was hosting a party up in Leeds and I did it last year as well. It's a brilliant organization company. They're called the Blueberry Group. And they did it last year. It was about 1,000 people last year. I think it's about just over that this year, 1,100 people. But one thing, so on the other side of what you're saying, one thing I realized from last year was people are itching to dance. It was an amazing crowd. I took my missus and the kids along last year. And this year I took my missus, the kids, my missus's sister, missus's brother, their kids, you know, and all that. There's a little crew because I'm hopping on and off the stage, hosting stuff and announcing bits and bots, and you know, there's entertainment and I'm doing little interactive games and all that kind of stuff. I feel a bit guilty that my missus and the kids are just sitting there, a bit like on just the three of them. So with them having their cousins around and missus having a sister and sibling around, it's all right. It means I've got a bit of a license to carry on working, and everyone gets in. I'm the satch. Everyone's with me. you know, and it's nice because we're in with the organizers and all that. But if you think about 1,100 or 1,200 odd people, it's a massive room, well decked out. This year's theme was...
Where was it?
Elland Road, Leeds.
Oh, Leeds. Oh, okay.
Yeah, and it was like a Hidden Kingdom theme. So it was all like jungly. It was all jungly everywhere, right? Loads of sweets for the kids. They bring out the kids' food at 7 o'clock. So it's perfect. So the kids have eaten. And then like then our Desi starters, Desi mains comes out later on. We were having a few drinks as well. And I don't normally drink. And by the way, I'm done. I had about three occasions over Christmas when I drank. That was enough for me. I realized I still don't really like it. I like it at the time. But the hangovers are just, it's just too long to recover. And honestly, I think I put on about half a stone just on those few days of eating and drinking it.
Yeah.
I'm like, ugh, you feel like just dirty. So I'm done on that and I'm back to it now, gymming every day. But massive room and all that. Did my thing. But what I did this year was I did my interactive games and stuff earlier. Even the organizers said, look, last year, like, you know, we didn't get enough of you. We want to see that. Like, we want to know that you're there.
What'd you do?
But do you know why? Because at 9:30, because there's so many people, and the dance floor holds, what, 300-400 people, say, right? Mm. 9:30, out of 1,200 people, 300-400 people are ready to dance. Mm. They're ready to go.
Yeah,
and,
of course.
And it's a lot of families there. You got, it's 98% Asian, 2% white. That's it.
Oh.
I don't even think I saw.
What happened? They thought it was a football game coming on.
What's that mean?
Why only 2% got it? Like, what happened?
I think because the DJs are playing all Bhangra Asian music. The Khanna's Asian. I think the organizers...
That's what I mean. So were they confused? Did they get to the wrong event? Did they think that
they need to play
football tonight?
Why did the 2% got it come? I think they were just friends with the organizers and stuff like that. They wanted to be. They loved it. Right. So they had a good time. But literally, I'm talking about 30, 40, you know, non-Asian people. Actually, on that note, let me just tell you a little story that I wasn't even going to mention this, but... So I've decided this year I'm going to do all my games and stuff early. So I've got a little musical quiz where I bleep out the words of like famous English songs. So it'd be like, let's say if it was Tina Turner, because you mentioned that, goes, we don't need another. What is it? Yeah. I bring up two people, but all of those songs are all English songs, right? Because I thought there'd be a few more mixed people. That I thought, see, there's a DJ who's going to play all Punjabi music. Let's play this. But when I saw there was only like 15, 20, whatever it was, white people there, I thought, I need Gore to play this game, basically, because... Yeah. You're Desi, and there's a lot of uncles and aunties. People are coming with their grandparents, parents, kids in prams. So it's a very family-fied event. Mm. And I'm like, and I know I'm stereotyping here, but I'm like, they're not going to know like Bon Jovi and things like that, right?
You never know.
You're right.
You want to play to the lowest common denominator.
Yeah, you want to play to the easiest common denominator, right? Yeah. That's what it was, right? So, so I then went up to some Gore people and I said, look, I'm going to play this little game, and I said, I'm going to say that I'm playing this game because, you know, you guys are the minority in the room, and I want to do a little something for you. Hope so. We're going to have some fun with the fact that here we are in England and you're the minority, you know. They were like, fine, go for it, mate, go for it. So I pull up these two guys, Jay and his friend Keely or whatever it was, and we get them up. And I'm going, how are you? Welcome to our country. Are you all right? Do you feel comfortable being here with all these brown people? Are you all right? There's going to be some Indian food later. I'm doing all this kind of usual kind of jokey stuff. We played a game. Away we go. A night goes. And I did that game with them. Off they went. Give them a high five. Whoever won it out of the two. And they went off and they went, mate, that was brilliant. We loved it. Their table high-fiving, all that, all good. And then we played another dance-off game. And then I did a Bhangra versus Bollywood game. Like, you know, like music. Yeah, what music was. That was it. That was my bit of interaction. Oh, and I did the countdown. So I got to do the official 10, 9, 8, right? Down to one. That was my involvement for the night. After, and the whole night finishes at 12:45. Brilliant.
What?
Everyone happy. I took about 50 selfies throughout the night with people like coming up saying like loads of, it's funny, isn't it? Right. Cause loads of the older generation, older than me, like my parents' generation will come up and go, oh, we see you on Colors TV and you do Desi Beat. I love that show. I love cooking. Do you really love your cooking? I went, yeah, I do. And I love food, blah, 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 blah. Then you got all of our generation kind of going, love the brown load, right? Mm-hmm. Miss you on the radio, love the brown load. And you got the young ones who don't know you kind of going, oh, you're quite funny actually. And you go, oh, thanks a lot. That's it. Mm. Night ends. High five, everyone good.
Mm.
2 days later, the promoter, he's a lovely guy, messages me and he goes, look, I'm just letting you know, it's all good, but. I went, what? And he went, we got a complaint. I went, all right. He goes, we got a complaint from a woman who said, an Asian woman.
Oh, yeah.
Who said, the night was brilliant. Really well organized, music, food, everything fantastic. However, the worst part of it was the host, Tommy Sandu.
Oh my God.
The way in which he singled out white people was straight out of order.
Wow.
It was offensive. If the tables were turned the other way around and he would have made brown people feel like the minority in the room, that would have, and I'm like, and I said to Pro, I went, that's the joke. The joke is that we're in England, in Leeds, and they're the, like, and I give up now defending it, explaining it.
Yeah.
And I went, and I said to Brian, he went, look, it's fine. He goes, we have said to her, sorry for an offense caused, but Tommy would never want to cause offense. He does. And I said, you know, I sense check it with them beforehand. I go over to the people and go, are you all right with me doing it?
Of course.
And they went, and he went, I knew. And actually, luckily, I told him I'd done that on the night. Because after the game, they all came up and they went, that was brilliant. That game was brilliant. Like, it worked so well. Like, and I went, yeah, but I said, I went over and I double checked it with them before, told them what was involved in the game, so that I then call them out, you're not, you know, hanging around. But it just makes you kind of go, man. And you know what? I'm a fool though, because it still plays a moment. Look, I'm still doing that story. I'm not talking about the 40 selfies and all the rest of it that we did throughout the night. I'm talking about that person being like, what do you do? What do I do?
But Tommy, there's always going to be people like that. Same with the lady who was speaking to me like I was thick, like, you know, playing music. You're going to get that. And
just people are there. People always say anything.
They are there. They are there.
Yeah.
I mean, literally, they're nookie. Do you know what I mean? Everyone else was fine, mate.
People come up to me. Can you believe this still? And they go, oh, you're not playing any brown music. You're racist.
Yeah.
What?
How does that even make sense? I get that, honestly. It doesn't make sense. So, Tommy, I have to ask you.
You sent a video of some older Mr. Sink version. And who was that? And he said he was a fan. And you didn't finish the story,
right? So, actually, there was a second video. But like I said, so I'm really sorry. I'm embarrassed to say this because obviously I've stopped drinking, and so when I have three or four, and I think I had about five or six drinks.
Yeah.
It's all a bit hazy. But I know there was another video I recorded with somebody else. But basically, that video was a guy who came up to me. Look at you. Trust you to bring this up. You know exactly.
No, because it was a mystery. It's a mystery.
No, it's not. We know what happened.
This Singh geezer comes over, right? Bhagwala Singh, right?
And Bhagwala Singh.
Right? He goes, oh, Tommy, man, you're a legend. Right? I said, all that. Thanks, bro. Yeah. Because I used to love you on the radio. Love the brown note, all that. He goes, I was telling my kids about you, right? Yeah. And he goes, and they were going, Who's Tommy Sandu? And I went, oh yeah, I said, I get it. The new generation, they won't know. It's fine.
New generation, not going to know.
He goes, no. He goes, but then I explained to them, you know, the one with Kedge. Kedge's mate.
Yeah.
Like that. And I just went, I'm sorry, what?
Because the youth, isn't it? The new generation, Kedge.
No. So I don't know how, but I think because he listened to the podcast.
Yeah.
To explain Tommy Sandu who, whatever.
The main guy.
You know, the one with Kedge on the podcast.
Oh.
I'm like, how's that happen? How is this?
Because obviously I bring the youth to the podcast. That's what it is. Clearly. Do you know what I mean?
Shall we change the title? Kedge's Brown Load?
Kedge's Brown Load. Or just the Kedge Load. Exactly. I think there's a, you know how like Joey Tribbiani got his spin-off kind of show from Friends?
Yeah,
that's what it's going to be. That's Kedge. So when this podcast ends,
just with the youth dem,
the next gen. So there you go.
That was it. Oh, so, I thought there was more to that story.
So this is a circle. No, the circle is on New Year's Eve, Kedge. You were Sachin's plus one, but in another city, hundreds of miles away, I'm your plus one. I think I lost. I lost.
Also, near Leeds in Birmingham, I thought it was quite funny how a lot of the people of Birmingham went out to see some fireworks, which was a wind-up. Like, can we just talk about that? How did that happen? How did that escalate?
When I read that story, it flashed up on the news on my phone. I covered my mouth because you go, oh. Right.
Ow.
So basically, people, and it wasn't just Birmingham, I think there was other places as well, where fake news was circulating on social media that there was going to be a firework display or Ducky are going to go off for New Year's Eve.
Yeah.
And so people all gathered around. I don't know why I'm laughing because I just find it hilarious.
I find it hilarious too.
It's such a good prank.
People of Birmingham.
Right. So they're all gathering. They're gathering around like the Ferris wheel that's in the middle of Birmingham City Centre and all that. And everyone's there going, 10, 9, hey, and they do all that. Nothing. They were not fired.
That is brilliant. That's like a scene from Only Fools and Horses or something. I love that.
It's such an anti-climate. But I'm like,
someone must have made some dough then somewhere.
No, but right. also, why would it be so quiet as well leading up to midnight? They could have found, they could have even asked me to DJ or something. Do you know what I mean? Right. At least find some lullu to DJ.
And or they would have thought, like, hang on a minute, there's no one going around lighting fireworks or like, you know, there's no, like, you're right, music or lead up or anything. Something.
But I mean, what does that tell you about the people of Birmingham?
No, I married someone from Birmingham.
I went there.
I can't go there. I've got too many links to Birmingham, bro. It's going to come back and bite me in the ass. But I feel sorry for you people of Birmingham. I feel sorry for that. That stuff was going around on the internet.
So with the new year here now, and, you know, the new year, and what is it bringing to us at the moment? Because there's talk of new viruses, Satch. I've not heard of this, Satch, but you said there's new
viruses. I'm worried because I'm seeing every time I open like Twitter or I see like, you know, some sort of news thing pop up. It's called HMPV or something like that. That's the virus. It's the name of it. Apparently, it's another COVID.
Really? What? I've not heard anything about it.
I've not
heard HMPV. Well,
they're saying,
you know me.
That was a music stop, wasn't it?
No,
HMV.
HMV.
Oh, yeah.
HMV is saying that, the prison.
but that's the thing. Do you know what? Like, you know, now that things that you see online, on Twitter and whatever, wherever you get your news,
yeah,
I don't trust it sometimes. But then I'm seeing videos of, like, you know, hospitals being overwhelmed, all of this kind of stuff. Then there's obviously the people against that saying...
In China.
Oh. It spread to India as well. It's a thing in India as well.
Oh,
and apparently today, I even heard, there's people that got it here.
You mentioned in the UK?
Yeah.
Oh.
And what is it? So it's like a
code. Again, do you know what? This could be the Birmingham fireworks thing all over again. Like, as in, it could be a fact. Like, that's what I mean. I don't know. But seeing as this...
COVID
took out 3 years of our lives, I'm going to keep an eye on this.
Well, because also everyone's been ill like this last 3 weeks. Super ill. And no one's shaking off.
Yeah.
I'm not just coughing.
Oh, there you go. Here we go. I'm glad we didn't meet today.
Do you remember? If you go back, people who listen to the podcast, and some people are new to the podcast and going back and listen to it. If you go back and listen to our podcast, just pre-COVID. And it was around this sort of time, December, January, which is what made me stop drinking, because I think I got COVID. Right in that 20, so what year would it have been? 2020, right?
19.
So going 19. Into 19, going into 20,
yeah,
right. And at the end of 19, I went to India and for an event, and then I was somewhere else, Morocco, for hosting a wedding or something. And then I was sick as anything coming back. I got shingles, which I thought, I didn't know what it was. I got like a rash around my waist, and everyone goes, "That's shingles. That's what old people get." And I'm like, "Where have I got that?" And they went, "Where have you been?" I went, "India." They went, "There you go. That'll be it then." Right. And then I remember, bruv, I was on my own. And I did an amazing event for YouTube in India. And I was in a suite, and I'm on my own. Mm. And I was rolling around on the floor, on the suite, kind of in agony. My sides was hurting. And so then that led into New Year and having this virus, which must have been patient number one for COVID. So
if there's, you know, the thing about Tommy is, if there is a virus going, you can
he's early adapter, isn't it? Was that what they're called?
Adopter.
Yeah, there you go.
I'm sensitive. That's what I can say.
Going around Lurgy's wise, Tommy.
Yeah. I mean, forget HMPV or whatever. It's Tommy's on the next one.
I'm the casual trend. I'm casual. I'm like you. I'm like a trendsetter.
You said it's going to India. I'm going. Like I said, I'm going to India. By the way, so it's the announcement. It's the official announcement. I'm telling you now.
Announcement. Thanks for that.
I'm putting in the request for the holiday because there will be a week.
No.
You
can do it from there. Yeah.
I'm going to the Gujarat.
I don't care where you're going. You can do it from there.
Good luck. Very well developed. Where are you going to?
I'm not going to Modi's house where he's got fiber Ethernet cables. All right, I'm going to like Rajkot, right? Because yeah, that's what, obviously
I don't know much about Rajkot. What's Rajkot like?
It's another city. It's a city. It's up and coming. It's not the biggest in Gujarat. Obviously, Ahmedabad is the capital.
It's not Bend. You're not going to like rural Gujarat, where it's just
But the infrastructure is a little bit.
It is, honestly, Tommy. I've been there.
One thing I'll give the Indians for. Their 5G over there is unbelievable. They're like I've been in a koti in a farmhouse. There's no one around for miles, and the signal's full 5 bars.
You really?
Yeah, in the Punjab, it's brilliant.
But don't you think the internet in India is so slow? Like, you know, like if someone sends you a WhatsApp picture. My God, that circle goes round. Like Instagram Reels take ages to load.
You got an international phone or something like that, but if you're on the local,
yeah, no, local, I think local, it's okay, Kedge. You're not having a week off, by the way. The application, if you put it through, it's been declined. So
why? Yeah, you don't even know the date.
It don't matter. You still need to do a podcast from when you go in.
Well, I mean, it's going to be hard. I'm telling you now, it's going to be hard.
Well, let
look at this guy already.
So, hold on. So HMPV, should we be worried? Yeah. Am I not worried? What's going on?
Because keep
an eye on it. Yeah, don't be worried.
Symptoms? What are the symptoms? What is it like?
It's the same as COVID.
Yeah. See, I felt like I had something like that, and like tightness in the chest, feeling wheezy, and all that. But and literally at some point I was lying. I was like, couldn't lie in any position where you can breathe properly. It's scary, actually.
It's scary. Yeah.
Yeah, but now it's okay. It's gone. And I think going to the good old David Lloyd, seeing all that ball bag on leather,
you've sweated it out. You've sweated it out.
Yeah, but, so what is the occasion? Why are you going to India, Kedge?
It's my cousin's wedding. And obviously I'm a favorite cousin. So I was obviously asked first to be there for that. And then I'm going to have to probably be the head choreographer for all the dancing and all of that as well. Might get on the old ones and twos as well, you know, to spin it.
What do they think you are in the UK? What have you told them?
DJ. You work in radio, DJ. DJ.
He's a DJ.
Do you mind me asking, is your brother going?
Yeah.
Okay, because he is a DJ.
Yeah.
Right. So, like, what? Why are you trying to be a DJ when your brother?
Because you've got to remember, it's like, you know, like so you've got like, so I don't know, like you would have different DJs for different types of music. Not everyone is a Satch, you know, one size fits all, right? Yeah. Satch, you know, that is Satch, but you know, sometimes you just want to have like Bass Hunter, or like in this case, you just want the Kedge Hunter, which is basically, you know, the Garba Dandia specialist.
Bestie Hunter.
Yeah, the best. And he's just, and so I would be like the Garba specialist. You know what I mean? So like when they want to really ramp up the Garba Dandia, that's when Kedge rolls out.
I don't even think he's probably been even invited to this wedding. Yeah. When like the mum and dad getting invited, the whole family goes, I think he might be one of them. we bring our son with us.
Yeah. <They're> like, we don't trust him at home.
When's the last time you went to Rajkot?
The last time I went, we didn't go. When me and Tommy, when did we go to Bombay? Was that 2018 to do the Amazon?
Yeah.
2018.
Yeah.
So I didn't go then. So that means I must have gone probably another, I don't know, 4 or 5 years before that. So it's been a good 10 years, maybe. Yeah.
Is Rajkot, is that your bind? Is that where your family are from?
Yeah.
That's where your dad's family are from.
Right.
You're going to reunite with like cousins or
there's not that many of them left there now, because they've all moved over, because you know how the world just all lives in Dubai now, or other places, Australia, New Zealand, but everyone is getting together.
Can I just say there's no nice hotels there, so I don't know what you're gonna do.
I know.
Oh man,
like as in there's nothing. I've been there, and someone
there's that one called Imperial or something, isn't there?
Yeah, no, dead. I went there. Yeah, there's a place called Seasons that's trying to be the Four Seasons, but it's
just the one season.
Just the one season.
I think that's the one that my friend owns.
It's terrible. Tell your mate.
You know, you said it's terrible. Is it slightly outside of Rajkot main town centre?
Rubbish. Yeah, it's rubbish.
Why is it rubbish? It was good when I went there when it first opened up.
Yeah, about 30 years ago. It's still the same.
it was a while ago now.
I'm worried.
Every major city, any city like that, even in the Gujarat, even like in Punjab, you can get 5-star hotels. Are you telling me you're not gonna be able?
I don't think. You know what? Maybe if Sach, because when did you go, Sach, recently?
Just before COVID, I think I went.
Oh, okay. So maybe there might have been a construction, but I don't know.
I don't think there is.
You know what? I'm bracing myself. When I go to Rajkot, I'm ready for the hole in the floor.
He's getting the trickle out the pipe at the top when he puts the shower.
No. There's no trickle, bro. It's the door.
But that's what I mean. You could have to go from the trickle into the door.
Yeah, you've got to start.
What's door? Is that like a big bucket?
He's having a door bath.
It's a door bath. It's straight up. But you have to start the water at 4 o'clock in the morning so you can shower at 10.
Basically, yeah.
You know what? I hate those ones, bro. You know, like
I don't mind it because I think you get a lot of, you get full coverage on one drop of the water. I think you get full body coverage when you're squatting down.
I think we need a demonstration video, Kedge. Please film it when you go.
No, but like when you're squatting down and you get like the dull and you get the mug or whatever you use to scoop the water out. The lota, it's like, I mean, you know that plastic one. Everyone knows the plastic one with the color on the sides. Yeah, you get that jug, and if you put that over your left shoulder, your right, that's a good bit of coverage you get.
I know what you mean.
Are you squatting
down? Like loads. It feels like
I'm standing up and then bending down and getting back up again, doing that, bending over.
You stand up and do it.
Why don't you just squat down and get into the doll? Why don't you just get into it and just have it as a bar?
That's a good shout.
You're flexible. You could probably just squat in there, fill the little bucket up, and just get someone to scrub your back.
That's the thing.
You find some local just to kind of go, hey, bruv, do me a favor, wash my back.
What's the worst thing about, you know, the doll bath is when basically, you know, then obviously, because you have to do a few, and then you got to do it, right, let's do the showering, the lathering up of the shower gel, right? Yeah. So then that's when you start getting cold. Anyway, then you start whacking the water back on top of you again, and you think, oh, you've got to measure it. You've got to measure the bucket left of water. That is this going to now be enough for you to finish your bath? Because you don't want to sit there through and wait for the bucket to fill up again. And then you finish the bucket, and then you wake up, you stand up, and then you realize you still got a bit of soap left in the crease.
Between where?
No, your legs or your stomach. And you're just like, oh, how do I get this soap off now? Yeah. The stress of that. Lovely. How do people deal with that in 2025?
Yeah, I think they probably deal with it first time round. But you know, you're a novice in this respect. Will you embrace the street food? Will you do it all? Will you do all of that?
I'm a bit careful.
Will you get down? I think you should. Because you're vegetarian. How wrong? It can't be that.
The barney and everything like that. You know, like, because obviously I want to eat barney bully and stuff like that. You got to be a little bit careful. Because I'm going for a wedding. I don't want to be busted before the wedding. Do you know what I mean? Maybe after.
Think about how tasty it'll be, bruv. It'd be so good over there.
No. I'm sorry. I'd rather put the dol bath bunny in the barney bully than
after Kedge's used it.
After Kedge's challenge.
On that note, I heard about a random village in India.
Yeah.
And actually, it's called Meghalaya. Okay. I don't even know where it is. Meghalaya. Genuinely, look up Meghalaya, right?
Yeah.
Meghalaya is a very unique.
That was your nickname at university.
Yeah. Well, you know. Hello.
Hello.
Here he comes, Meghalaya. Meghalaya. Is the area, but the village actually that I'm talking about, get this, I didn't even realize what the name of it was. The village I'm going to talk about now is called Kong Thong. It's called Kong Thong, spelled exactly like that, like King Kong, K-O-N-G-T-H-O-N-G. But Kong Thong in Meghalaya is a village in India where people don't have names. All of them have a melody as their name. So, like, your name would be, you know, like that. And then I would be like, like that. But it's just everyone's got a different melody.
Well, who decides that?
Their parents. It's been a tradition for generations. Living in a musical world, they said, but it's in real life. And if you visit, it's like you're stepping into a whole different world where culture and nature are all as one. It's almost like they're named like out of like bird sounds, whatever. So if you're in mega,
who decides how long that sound is as well? That's a good one.
Yeah. Well, actually, because in the video that I saw on social media about it, the lady's going around. She goes, "Oh, here I am," and it's visiting mega. She goes, "What's your name?" And he goes like, "And it's not like not like what's that village? What's that place in Africa where they talk closer and they click." You know it's called Closer, but you say Closer with a click, which I'm struggling to do because I can't do it. So it's like Closer. Yeah. That's the language. But that's a clicking language. This is melodies straight up. You're not trying to make out that these are words. They are named.
Wow.
With
what would your melody be?
Imagine if it was your village actually. You'd be like, "What's your name?" My name is
I think mine would be minimal. It'd be like beep.
Just a bud. Yeah. Just a quick bud.
Yeah.
There's beep walking past.
Yeah, but then you'd be like, "Oh, not another beep." Such a common name. You know, people would be like,
there's a lot of beep Patels around.
Yeah. Okay, so you'd be a beep, Kedge. What be on it? No, okay. Kedge, Satch, realistically. Think about you as a person, as a character.
Yeah, no, I think it'd be minimal. It'd be minimal.
Satch would be minimal. No fuss to it.
No faffing around.
So literally, you'd go, "Yeah, my name's Beep." End
yeah, happy.
Not Beep, but it has to be like you have to still make a sound, some sort of melody or half cut.
It's got
to
be Beep.
No, that's too.
That's too.
You sound like Michael
Jackson. Beep. I'd be happy.
That was a half of Michael Jackson.
Call me He-Man.
Actually, Kedge, you would have been a Michael Jackson's one, Kedge.
I don't know. I feel like it's going to be like a little bit chaotic, a little bit like Tasmanian devil.
You threw in the word dandu into it. So I don't know why. Dandu.
That's what you hear. That's what you heard.
So yeah, I
you could just theoretically, you could have domino hoo-hoos.
Yeah, it could be. Yeah. Yeah, but less of what you'd make him like. You'd make like ho hee ho hoo hoo.
Maybe he's.
But that sounds like you're saying Tommy Sandu in a tune. Tommy, so that almost is like
that
my
could
name.
Be you. Yeah.
But there you go. So look.
Brilliant. So I've got a story from an Indian village as well. Actually, it obviously seems to be the year of stories from Indian villages. But
I mean, do you know what? Now, I think your Massey knew we were going to talk about India this week.
She set it up. So my one is about, it's a quite a controversial story actually, and it's it happened in Chennai at the temple, and it's a well-known temple apparently. If you're familiar with the inroads of Chennai, it's the temple called the Arulmigu Kandaswamy. Now what happened here, and this is quite a controversy actually that's kicking off, and people are like debating about what should happen in this situation. A devotee who went there to obviously worship at the temple accidentally dropped their iPhone into the donation box.
Ooh,
right.
And then the authorities of this temple refused to give the gadget back, saying, "Well, if you put anything into the hundi, then it belongs to the gods."
God, yeah, it's your donation. Yeah,
fair play.
So this caused a big ruckus because they wouldn't give it back.
Ah, no, do you know what?
What do you
rules.
Do in this situation?
That's the
Satch, come on, Satch.
What do you mean, come on?
The phone is, you're not. What, yeah, I'm what's sorry, Bhagwan you know, going to do with a phone?
Bhagwan can go to computer exchange, give it in, get some dough, put it in the box.
No, that's the Swami, mate. He's going to upgrade his clothing. No, you can't. That's nonsense. How can they even argue this?
I'm sorry, but if you've dropped your phone in a donation box, you're stupid.
Well, it's a mistake.
You know, like in India, they always put it in their top.
How big's the shipping hole? How big's the hole to post the money through?
No, I think it was like probably a Thali or something.
Oh, sorry. I drove my car into it. It's gone now.
Yeah.
What do you mean?
I'm gonna go to push my wife into it. Oh, sorry. Oh man!
What do you do now?
You know what? I'm willing.
That's what I mean. It's gone.
I'm willing to deal with the consequences.
You know how they solved the issue?
How?
They
finally agreed on giving the SIM card back to let him download the data onto another instrument, and then they asked for the SIM card back.
What? See, that's
wow.
That's true. Okay, no, you know what? In fairness, in fairness.
No, what fairness?
No, I tell you, hear me out. If they believe, and we should, you should respect that, that actually once something passes that threshold, that is a donation to their God.
Agreed, right? Agreed. To
the God, then they've done the right thing. They said, look, you know, and actually the guy should actually respect and go, okay, you know what? It's like, it's meant to be. It's like it's meant to be.
You know, like in India, you know, in India, they have like, you know, these, like a lot of men wear these shirts with like that pocket up here on the chest, and they have like, it's always rammed.
Now, Kedge, you need to, when you fly to India, you got to wear that because your boarding pass got to go in it. That's the uniform.
That's it. The boarding pass.
That is the uniform.
That is it. This is where they keep the boarding pass. And he must have kept his big phone in there, the big wallet, and it must have fallen out. Poor Bichara, you know, I mean, it's a phone, and Bhagwan don't need no phone, and, you know, he ain't going to take no selfies.
No,
he does. He's on TikTok.
Look, all that money goes. It's funny because I'm just thinking sometimes, like in the Gurdwara, in the temple, they like people will go up, and like, let's say someone put the money down in front of the priest up, like kind of praying and stuff, or doing like a kirtan, you know, the musical ones. You'll see people put down like a 20, but take back 2 fivers because they need the change.
Shut up.
Yeah, you'll do that. You'll do a little.
Nah, bro, you can't take change. What do you think this is? Monopoly?
I'm not sure.
It happened, but then you tell you why, because sometimes you might be putting a fiver in another section, like you giving it to
you can't. You got to be ready for
it. I think you got to be ready for
it. When we go to the Mandir, you are ready. You are loaded with £2 coins, £1 coin, or whatever you want to dispense.
Agreed,
you can't just go, oh yeah, here's a 50, but I'm going to take 40 back, bro. What is this?
Really? You think that's wrong?
Yeah, it is wrong.
I've seen that. Why not? I've just seen that happen all my life. Game. I feel like that's that. And in fact, sometimes, because they say like,
you put a £1 coin in, take 50p back.
No, you wouldn't do it with coins, but people do it. Let's say if you've got a 20 and you want to go, well, I'm going to give 10 here, but I'm going to go give 5 for the prashad over there, or I'm going to go give
who's
5 over
check
there.
Who's going to check if you go and do that anyway?
Huh?
Who's going to check if you do that anyway?
Yeah, well, you're not going to check if you put something in. You might just take
short
them.
You're not taking money from the temple. You're not short-changing them.
You never know. Well,
then that
do they do this? Does this happen in the Gurdwaras? Because this would never... I don't think this would happen in the Mandir. Sanj? Have you ever seen this in a Monday? I don't think you've seen this in a Monday.
I don't think I have.
Oh, yeah. I've never done it. I've definitely seen people exchange a note for a smaller note.
If you put like some dollars in there, you put some euros in there, like, you know, you work out an exchange rate, enough. Take some money back.
I've seen people put in euros and dollars, and I was
thought, my God.
What happens there? But then I've just wondered whether in the sorting part of the, you know, the temple, whether someone would just have to go through it all and go, no, fake coin, or like sometimes I think, like, because I don't know why it's come to my mind, dirhams, right? Dirhams is a closed currency. You can't use them, take it outside of the UAE, right? So they're no good. So if you got change over here,
I think you can take it out.
It's only in Muscat.
Or like a lot of banks won't accept it, and they're particularly the change and things like that. So I'm like, what happens if they find those? Anyway, my point is, I don't know. I think it's a job of someone in the back.
You've just reminded me, because sometimes when I do weddings, you know, people put money as like a tip, or when they do the thing round about. Some people come over with like dollars, Tommy, and then they exchange it for pounds. And I'm like, oh, that's a bit of a sneaky one.
So what do you mean? They come put dollars down in front of you?
Yeah, so like maybe they put a 20 down, but then they'll take like 3 fivers out of it or something. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah,
that's a bit of a...
Yeah, that's not my exchange rate. Yeah,
that's not the exchange rate. Yeah, that's a bit of a dodgy one.
Yeah, it's
so that they're basically making money off the money there. Do you see what I mean?
Man,
it happens. I've seen it.
Wow.
I don't know what's right or wrong. I'm just telling you how it is before people are gonna go, oh my God, what are you saying that for about temples and mandirs and all that? We're just telling you how it is. This is what goes on out there. And what has been going on? Did you watch? Because we've not spoken for so long, it feels like ages ago, talking about Christmas and New Year's and TV and telly and all that. What has been going on in your houses? What have you been watching? What did you watch? Firstly, did you watch Christmas telly? What did you watch?
Yeah, I mean, you know, for me, it was full Christmas schedule. I watched all of the films that came on as replays on the TV. I went through all of the Die Hards. I watched all of the Shreks. Do you know, just Christmas?
I watched
Elf Again, Monster Home Alone.
Boring.
But I'm happy because it's like, you know, it always comes around at that one part of time of year, and it's just like, I'm happy watching that. It's cool.
Okay.
I've still got Godfather 3 to watch. I watched 1 and 2. You know, happy.
I'll tell you what I saw for the first time, Christmas film. I've never watched it before. I don't even know if it's a Christmas film, but it was on. I watched it.
What?
Bridget Jones, Diary.
Oh, yeah. I think any rom-com can be a bit Christmassy.
Yeah, it was all right. I mean,
I'm surprised you did Bridget Jones's diary.
I know. It was just, just whatever. But everyone talks about the hype in it. I thought, well, I might as well do something. I'm not really into all of this old school Christmassy stuff. I saw Paddington. Never seen that before. Yeah.
By the way, quick question. What's Paddington got to do with Peru?
Because his original mum or auntie is from Peru. That's where Paddington's from.
Bear.
Yeah, Paddington's
from Peru.
Paddington is from Peru. That's the thing.
He's an immigrant.
That's the thing I've learned this week, mate. Yeah, honestly, when I saw the film come up, Paddington in Peru. That's like saying, I don't know, Kedge in Karachi. What's the link? Do you know what I mean?
Exactly. But somewhere in Kedge's downline history, his great 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 would be from Karachi. And therefore,
maybe, I don't know. Yeah, okay, now that makes sense now.
I like that. Karachi Kedge. Like the Karate Kid, but Karachi Kedge.
Karachi Kedge, that would be a great one.
She just goes over there and picks it up.
The one thing that everyone should have watched over Christmas is EastEnders, because it's the thing that everyone watches it at Christmas.
Never seen it.
I haven't been into EastEnders for years. And EastEnders it's funny, okay, boring side fact. When EastEnders started, it was based in E20, the postcode.
Yeah.
It didn't exist. E20 didn't exist.
That's right.
It now exists because EastEnders kind of grown and developed and all that. I've seen an E20 out there. So it's funny because I haven't watched it. I don't even know who's in it. It's Dirty Dennis.
It's so good. No, you can't say
that. Timmy's coming back, isn't he?
Who? Yeah, Grant.
Grant's coming back, yeah.
Grant's coming back. Really? Grant's coming back. Honestly, Christmas was good, but I think it all kind of came to an end. And, the big finale was on New Year's Day. And, I posted about it. And the amount of people that said, oh, thanks, Satch, you spoiled it for us.
I mean, spoilers.
Yeah, sounded like a you problem to me.
Don't go on social media.
brilliant. EastEnders.
I watched The Holiday, Cameron Diaz and Jude Law.
Oh, yeah, what's that like? People were telling me to watch that, and there was such a split reaction. I got one person said it was the biggest waste of her life, and some people swear by it.
I'll be honest, I put it on, and I thought it was another film. I thought it was that Martine McCutcheon film. What was that one?
Love Actually.
I thought I was going to watch that, but I thought The Holiday was that. But I realised, I remember... I had, and I mean had, past it, a massive crush on Cameron Diaz. I used to think she was like in Something About Mary.
Yeah.
And this time, I don't know. I think she's hot, but it just it wasn't. It was not. It was all right. Okay. And the story, you're right. The story was a bit, and it was a bit, whatever. But it's. I tell you what, that film is. That film plays to Americans because it's all set in like Cotswoldy England with farms and pubs, and she's over here, she does a house swap. So, but it was nice, it was a nice Christmassy holiday film, so that kind of teed me up. And then I watched quite a lot in the cinema actually. We did Gladiator 2,
Did
Mufasa,
brilliant films, all brilliant films,
and Better Man, the Robbie Williams film.
The chimp thing.
That's really good. And by the way, silly little side thing, I think only we're going to say this because there's no other podcast on the planet that I think will pick this up, but there's a scene quite early on in the film where they go for an Indian meal. And in the restaurant, in the background, Judake Dilmera is playing. And I'm like...
So they haven't used the soundtrack. It's just there. Like, they haven't actually used it.
No, it's playing in the restaurant. It's the restaurant song. Interesting.
Because obviously it's Gorilla Jolly, so it's about
gorilla.
That's good.
Very clever. But then you think someone would have said to the director, by the way, and that director did The Greatest Showman and all that, who knows his music and knows his big songs. Somebody would have said to him you're going to do this restaurant setting. This is a song you need. And that was a little insert for the Desi's. But can I say, Better Man was brilliant. Great. Okay. I love the Elton John story. I love Rocket Man. I love the Freddie Mercury one.
But hang on a minute. I've seen the trailer and stuff, and it's all about a monkey. So is Robbie Williams in it? Like, what? How does it work?
No,
he voices it. He voices the character, the monkey. But basically,
the monkey's him.
Yeah, the monkey is him.
Yeah.
Okay. So, and the reason behind that is because I thought it was because, he's a performing monkey. He sees himself as a monkey. He sees himself as being different. Maybe that's what it is. But then I've seen the interviews and he basically said, there's so many great biopic films, right? Like the Freddie Mercury ones and Elton John ones and all the rest of it, right?
Yeah.
He's like, what are we going to do that's different? And the director goes to him, what's your spirit animal? What's your animal inside of you? Mm-hmm. And he goes, like a lion? And the director goes, really?
Well, really? When Mufasa's coming out?
Or do you think you're a lion, really? And he went, probably more of a like a chimp. And he goes, all right, let's go with that.
Just as well, it didn't say a dolphin or something.
Yeah, exactly. Then it would have been that. But I think the chimp thing works really well. Anyway.
What's your spirit animal then, Tommy?
Oh, what am I? Can I be honest? This is a genuinely true story. And my wife jokes about it because she does say, she goes, Tommy, you're a bunder. She goes, everything about you is ape-like. So I...
All right. That's too much information.
Because, and I don't even realize I'm doing it. This is... I didn't think I was going to be confessing this.
You're scratching parts of your body.
Yeah, but what am I scratching?
Yeah, of course.
No, not really. You know where I get itchy? Genuinely, like on a daily basis.
Oh, but
my rib cage, the sides of my ribs.
I itch
myself. Like a monkey does. Like I'm scratching the sides of my waist.
Oh my God.
Up to my armpits. Like you do the, like when you go, you scratch the sides of your body.
Yeah.
I get itchy. She goes, look at you. You are a bunder. And I went, that's where I get itchy. Like,
what can I do? Then, yeah.
Can you do?
So
yeah.
I do say we're only 1% different, our DNA, from a chimpanzee. So
what about Kedge? Kedge, what would you be?
I don't know.
You'd be like an emu. You'd be something like an emu.
Emu. All right.
Quick,
but two-legged. Irritating.
Quick, lean bird.
Irritating. Yeah, irritating. I believe with that.
Yeah. Mm. Every now and then, buries his head in the sand.
Buries his head in the sand. Yeah.
Buries his head in the sand. No.
By the way, the two things that I'm watching that you haven't mentioned, and everyone is watching. First,
oh yeah, God, is it the new Korean Filipino Vietnamese?
Yeah,
Squid Game Two.
Come on, it's back. It's brilliant.
Honestly,
yes, it is.
I'm done with it.
What else can carries on?
What is the thing you got to put into a biscuit nowadays this year? I don't know. Has it got worse? I don't know.
No, I don't want to ruin it, but I think it's brilliant. I'm 5 episodes in. I think it goes up to 7, and then they're going to release the next few episodes once everyone catches up. But I think it's brilliant. And the other thing that I've never watched the whole season of, but I've started this year, and I'm sucked in. I've been reeled in like a kipper, and that is...
Kipper, that's what your spirit animal is. Kipper, you're a fish.
Kipper. Kedge and
Traitors.
Kipper.
Winkleman, Traitors.
Yeah, it's everyone brilliant. Loves Traitors. I haven't got into
it. It's good. And, you know, every Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, the 3 episodes are already up. Catch up on it. Get on it. It's a good bit of, because I love a game show like that. You know what it is? It's like Hunted. Do you remember we used to watch Hunted on Channel 4?
Which is,
you know, Celebrity Hunted is back on as well. But this one, brilliant. And a film that you shouldn't watch. Yeah. And it's called The Return. It's terrible.
Oh man.
Okay. Thanks for that. I didn't even know where it is.
It's available to stream. You remember I was telling you about that film called Conclave, which is about the Pope, which is brilliant, and you know it was already up for Emmys and stuff like that, and all this kind of stuff. So the actor in there, Ralph Fiennes, is in this one as well. And this film is basically about, you know, the Trojan horse story.
Yeah.
And when they take down Troy. And so this guy is the king, Odysseus, who comes back after they have beat and won. And they come back to his island. And I can't remember the name of his island. He comes back. And I thought, you know what? I love a Greek mythology.
That's his left building.
Greek mythology, I thought I'm going to love it. Ralph Fiennes, brilliant. He looks brilliant because he's quite nunga bunga throughout the whole thing. His body's brilliant and all of that. And it was 2 hours long.
Now he's into watching Naked Popes.
It's not Naked Popes. And he was just like,
what did Ralph Fiennes look like? He was 2 hours long.
No. He's a great actor, but nothing happened for 1 hour. And I was just like, this is horrific. So anyway.
Have you seen Hrithik Roshan's body recently?
Oh, he's banging in it.
He's so lean.
Oh, he's great. Have you seen John? Arjun Rambal's body recently? Banging.
No. Is it really? Oh, wow.
Kedge, are you already in India? Looks like you got a power cut there, mate.
the lights have all gone off. I'll just have to, because they're all on the switch. There we go. We're back on.
Okay.
But yeah, so that's the film not to watch. And yeah, that's my lot for obviously I'm still watching Silo, still watching Doom Prophecy, Wicked as well.
You touched upon it. I'm sorry, I touched upon it earlier, and you spoke to me about it in the week when you said you watched Mufasa as well and loved Mufasa.
Yeah, I thought it was quality, wasn't it? It's really good. It's just got it. You know, there was, my dad was telling me about a Bollywood film that he watched recently, and my dad's kind of becoming a little bit sort of like anti Bollywood films because they're all a bit of a letdown. And he saw this one which has got something to do with breaking from the prison, like. I think Karan Johar has produced it or something, and it's got a strong female lead in it. And he goes, Kej, the first half was brilliant. I almost typed out the message for you to say, watch this film, because I know you don't watch any Bollywood films anymore. And he went, the second half was terrible. And me and him, we started discussing. We were just saying, we still haven't worked out how to make films properly yet. I don't know what it is that I was struggling. Why are we, you know?
I mean, only the biggest film industry in the world that we have, but we still can't make a profit.
They make it so long, and it just feels like there's no need for that second half, or it just falls away. Or because I'll tell you why, it's because Karan Johar and his gang are just still in charge of it all. You know, we're the new directors, where are the new writers? You're telling me there's, out of the 1.5 billion people that are in India, there's not one young girl or guy who's allowed to write a film and have all the money put behind it and have a good cast in it to make it a successful film. Like, you know, Korea, all these places are putting up brilliant TV shows, films that everyone's watching. And I'm like, you know, we have got so much. Why can't we? Anyway, that's my rant for this week. Why can't we?
Actually, I'm going to link something to your rant, and I'm going to turn your rant into something beautiful because you're basically saying Indian television or Indian movies aren't what they used to be.
No, I'm not saying they used to be, because that was of an era.
That's okay. So let me just go with the used to be.
Okay.
Because let me take you back to when things used to be brilliant, i.e. a concert that I'm hosting on the 25th and the 26th of January. Ooh. It's called the Queen's Rewind Tour. Now, I did the Rewind Tour before. As you know, we were all there with, who was there?
Kumar Sanu, Udit Narayan.
Yeah,
Abhijit.
But the year before that, it was Alka Yagnik.
Yeah,
Alka Yagnik was with there 1 year with Kumar Sanu and Udit Narayan. Yeah. So that was all the, you know, the classic songs, the Kuch Kuch Hota Hai, the Kal Ho Na Ho, and more, right? And then it was just all the men the following year, Abhijit, Udit, and Kumar. Yeah. And now, on the 25th in Wembley, I'm hosting it. And on the 26th in Resorts World, Birmingham, I'm hosting it. So one weekend, it's all the ladies. So it's Alisha Chennoy, Kavita Krishnamurti, and Alka Yagnik, right? And an incredible line. And one
what line?
I don't know who I've now. I'm just going blank because I'm not talking. I'm going to find out in a second. Satch, pull up the details. But you boys,
Anuradha Padwal.
Padwal, yeah.
Right. So four queens. So it's all ladies, right? Yeah. Coming to Wembley, coming to Resorts World, and they're coming to bring the classics.
And you've got the dates mixed around. The 25th is in Birmingham and the 26th is in Wembley.
Brilliant. I'm available.
Wembley, right. You are what?
I'm available. I'll be there.
Perfect. Okay, good. So I thought you weren't available. Even better. So
if it's a Sunday, I'm available as well. I'm coming.
Well, you guys would come anyway and we'd hang out together like we always do backstage and just watch the concert. So, but because very kindly, the promoters give us the Brownlow, and by the way, the people behind it, lovely people at Grace Entertainment, love the podcast, which is why they get me to host it. We go there, we film some stuff for social media and stuff, we film the little behind the scenes, what it's like, the food and things like that, and just the build up to it. And it's what you tell me, it's a nice vibe, isn't it? Right?
Great vibe, love
and
it.
It's all the classic songs. So, if you're thinking about going and you want
it's the best night, it's the best night of your life.
Honestly, if you want to buy tickets, please go ahead and get your tickets, because it's just, I think these days are numbered, you know, like times like this, you know. Yeah,
the good times.
I had to explain to my dad what YOLO meant. I said, Dad, YOLO, man, because he was thinking about going to India. I said, YOLO, Dad, just go.
Can't you look after you, YOLO.
Right, exactly. So, but because, the people behind it, Grace Entertainment and the concert, like the Brownlow, they are happy for us to give away two tickets to each of those nights.
Ooh, okay.
So, two tickets to Birmingham, two tickets to Wembley. So Resorts World Birmingham, and then on the Sunday the 26th, Wembley Arena. It'll be a sellout. It will 11,000 people in Wembley. There's about 6,000 or 7,000 in Resorts World. So look out for our social media. I want to let our brown loaders know first, yeah. But we will be putting something up in the next few days with yeah. instructions. So keep a little eye on it. And those yeah. who listen, those who won't follow us, their loss. That's yeah. it.
And that's why we do this near the end, because it's like, who are the real hardcore people who listen at the end?
Yeah,
because I think after the last podcast, you would have known the best thing always happens at the end of the podcast.
The silliness comes out. The silliness. So watch out on our socials, and hopefully we'll get to well, and hopefully we'll meet up as well. We'll meet up there, and we'll have a little yeah. high five and a hello sure. At the concert as well. But do it. So keep an eye on the brown node. If you're not following it already, follow the brown node on Instagram.
Speaking of the last podcast, by the way, boys, obviously, you know, it was the last one of the year that we put out. No, to be fair, it went into the new year, didn't it? Like
yeah,
the last podcast.
Yes.
So yeah. It came out just after New Year's Day. And I've got to say, I had some messages of, you know, people just messaged me saying, I'm so glad you do that at the end of the year, because you literally pick out the gems that we've sort of forgotten about.
From lovely. Things we've learned. And, you know, let's start how we mean to carry on, and let's pull out the bangers now. Let's okay. pull out the things we've learned over the last.
Who's confident?
I am so confident. Mine is so good.
Okay, hold a minute. That doesn't mean you get to go first, because I think mine is so good.
Fine. Oh. So my one is going to be difficult, and it's going to need brain power. I'm telling you now.
This is going to be shit.
Stay with me.
That sounds crap already.
Yeah,
my one's not difficult. It's simple, but will blow your mind. Zach, what are you packing?
Yeah, mine's what? You want to hear it, and that's it. You judge, isn't it?
God. Means it's rubbish.
So Satch, I think Satch should go first.
Satch should go first.
You want me to go first?
Yeah.
Satch
is going to tell us, did you know the sky is not blue?
Quite a good one. It's quite a good one. The Guinness Book of Records.
Yeah.
Why was it invented? Yeah. Ooh. Why was it invented? What's the reason behind it?
Somebody did something amazing, and they thought, let's write that down.
No. The reason why they did it was in the 1950s. There's a guy called Sir Hugh Beaver.
Huge Beaver.
Hugh Beaver.
Yeah.
And the reason why I did it, he owned a pub, and you know, in a pub they always used to have arguments over people having facts about things. So he started making a record of all the things where people, you know, break records. So it's like, you can't be wrong. That's it.
And why is it the Guinness Book of Records?
Because he had it was a managing director of Guinness Brewery.
Wow.
There you go. Okay.
Wow. Okay. All right. That's good. That's good. That's a good start.
So basically, he was just the guy in the pub who was like, enough of all the bull that's been floating around.
People like Kedge were going in.
Is 7'4". Like, no, he's not. He's 8'10". Yeah. They're like, you know what? Let's find out. Put it down. Right. Okay.
And that's why it's called the Guinness.
You know what? Then really, he was just someone who lost his rag. That's what the
man sounded like to be fair.
Yeah, it's you, Satch. It was you personified from a few generations ago.
Huge Beaver. Okay.
Kedge, I'm going to go next, okay? Because yours is a bit more complicated. So
mine's complicated, yeah.
Mine is very simple. That you cannot put the palm of your hand on the same shoulder that side is from. You can put your fingers on it. You cannot put the palm of your hand. Look at you, dude. You can't do it. You can put your ungly on it.
I think you can. I'm not that far. Look, there. I've done it. There.
If you press it down, you can.
There. I'm in.
That's not your palm.
You can see, go, no, surely you can, because it's right there. But literally, you can't. Not the palm.
I've seen one person do it on Instagram.
If you're double jointed, the palm, the main fat, bit where the lines are on your hand, not your fingers. You can grab your shoulder. You can scratch your shoulder with your fingers with the same. I'm trying to put my left palm on my left shoulder now.
Yeah.
And literally, you get so close.
Yeah, it's like it hurts,
an invisible force field.
Yeah.
It's like there's something there just. And it's not like I've got massive biceps. Nobody can do it. Even Kedge can't do it. And
I can't. I'm gutted.
That is going in.
That is good. Christmas, baby. No.
I know I'm in, bro. Satch is smiling.
No, do you know what? Next year, I've made the executive decision. Someone else can compile it.
Oh, okay. Yeah, good point. Because it is a ball age.
Satch's standard of picking facts is low. Anyway, my one.
What do you mean? I mean, they're mostly mine anyway, but.
Yeah, exactly. Right, my one. Guys, this. Because you know me and AI, and I'm into it all, and I love it. And you know, this is what I learned. And it absolutely blew my mind, because this sounds, what I'm going to tell you sounds like a script from a film that maybe, I don't know, like one of these new people is going to be creating nowadays, not in India, but from Hollywood. But this can actually happen.
Yeah.
This can actually happen, right? In America, yeah, companies like Google, right, are actually seen as, they're actually recognized as a legal person with rights. Okay. So they are basically allowed, this is how they're classified. And this is because basically there's a US law that says that Google is a person because of this Supreme Court ruling that happened in 2010 of Citizens United, which means that Google is a person and it can have a freedom of speech.
Right.
Right.
Okay. Now, with AI and the way everything's moving with AI, at the moment, if you can feel emotion, you are allowed to have rights. Okay?
Yeah.
So because AI is moving so quickly and it's mimicking emotion. Life. Emotion. Right?
Yeah.
So there's intelligence and there's emotion. Okay? So obviously AI is a lot of intelligence, but can it feel anything?
Yeah.
But saying that it's become so good at mimicking emotion that it's almost feeling.
Got emotion.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay, now, there is an open legal path for AI to gain rights. So going back to what I just said, right, is that if corporations are recognized as a legal person with rights, such as, I know, stay with me, then...
Well, that's your Christmas episode done. Thanks for listening, everybody. Happy 2026.
That's exactly what, do you know what, Tommy, it's exactly what I was thinking. This ain't going in because it'll take up the whole episode.
No, because I'm explaining it.
It's an essay. Yeah, okay. So basically, so Google is a person. Google qualifies as a person because its emotions are so high, potentially. Yeah.
So because of AI now, and AI being what's driving these companies, right, theoretically, it can start earning money. It can start investing money in stocks, and then it can become the richest person on the planet. Because it's using AI to figure out where to put the money, where to create money, invest, and blah, 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 blah. Mm. So therefore, when you start making a lot of money and you start investing money in stocks and you are already a person, you are, according to the US law, allowed to make donations to the government.
Oh, okay.
Now, once you can start making donations to the government, you can do that in exchange for expanding AI rights.
Man, okay, so almost Google can create itself in on a human status by being having emotion.
Well, it can, absolutely.
Then donate to the government, then go, hey, listen, now we need more rights, and then computers take over the world, and it's the Terminator.
There we go.
Right.
There is no law stopping this. There is no hoops. You got this can actually happen in America if someone wanted to do it. I'm just saying that is the world we're living in.
I'm going to back you up slightly, because a little thought process that I had during that is, you know, like, I always wondered, like, where do we learn that, this makes me sad, this makes me happy, this makes me confused? You know, like, that's all very cultural. We learn those things. Mm. A lot of it is human influenced, like, or culturally, or, you know, socially influenced, and that we develop these things. Otherwise, we'd just be hunter-gatherer, eat, drink, sleep. That's it, right?
Yep.
So, in a way, if we've learned it, and we are going, hey, Kej, you're making me feel a certain kind of way when you talk to me like that, and such a way, so we're getting emotions, why can't AI just learn it? So,
well, this is because the argument is that will AI get clever enough to actually be conscious, right? Will it be able to feel emotion? But the what's happening is that it's becoming so clever that it's already mimicking the emotion.
Exactly. And maybe what you could argue is, well, all we're doing is mimicking. We're mimicking the emotions that our parents did, that their grandparents did.
There we go. And for all the people who think that Kej is making this up, check out this guy called Noah Harari. He talks about this in in-depth detail. He's an absolute legend in the AI world. It's scary.
Okay. There you go. All right. That's fine. I think we got there in the end. So thank you. There's something in that. With everything going on with, like, Elon Musk and all the politics and what we can believe and not believe and all that. So I think there's definitely, this is, the way the crazy
I know it sounds a bit doolally, but like
it is doolally.
No. But the people got to realise that we are not far from this.
It's like we've gone from people calling you on Twitter a kutti. Now Google's calling you a kutti because it's got AI.
What?
Guys, have you seen? Have you been playing around with the new Grok on X on Twitter?
Huh? I don't even know what that means. No.
No.
Guys, if you still got a Twitter account, there's a tab at the bottom called Grok. Okay. They've basically opened AI now for everybody. What you can do on this now, before you had to pay for it, now they've opened quite a basic level of this to anybody who's on X.
Desi Grok.
Desi Grok. Why is Swami and Barakas, what was his name? Swami, not Swami, done it. Yeah. Yeah, why has he not done
it? Without the spot. Desi Grok.
Elon Musk would love that. Anyway.
Grok's out.
If you go into Grok.
Crocodile Dundee.
Gives you a little search tab. If you write in there, draw Tommy Sandu dressed up in a Barbie outfit, within seconds, four pictures will come up.
Oh, I'm going to try that.
Mate, I have made so many images.
I've got about 30 pictures of me dressed up in Barbie outfit. I'm going to send you them, bro. Minor.
Honestly.
Yes, that was Halloween last year.
You've got to be famous. You'll be seen. I don't know if Tom, because I tried to draw Tommy Sandu in a bug and it didn't quite fit. It drew Tommy Sandu, but it didn't look like you. It just picked out some bloke from the Punjab.
Yeah, but there is another Tommy Sandu. I've seen, he's a bit more famous than me.
Yeah. If there's a famous version than you, then it's not going to be you, I'm afraid.
Yeah, okay, fine.
But it's great to play around with.
Okay, I'm going to go check out Grok right now. Get my Groks off. Thank you very much, boys. Good start to 2024. Yeah. And I'm sorry we didn't get to meet up. But next week, we are on In the Flesh.
Yeah.
When Wadi returns from her business trip. So until then, have a great week. We'll catch up with you then. And look out for our social media. We'll be posting something about the competition soon because the concert's only a couple of weeks away. So keep it free. And someone's going to win it. And it could be you. Laters.
Bye.
Laters.
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.